Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me. Around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight. By my side.
Happy weekend and welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great show for today. We're going to be talking about some hunting tips from me. And then ways you can help out our first responders locally. In here along with Bo Matthews, I'm Mark Cox, Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Our producer, as always, with the great bump music there. Bo, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I had a great week. I had probably one of my favorite, most informative shooting sessions because I was invited by Chief Wiegand of Eureka Police Department to join them for their qualifying at the range. My first time ever at the range. Great crew out there. And I did get my raffle tickets, by the way.
Well, thank you.
So you'll be calling out my name, I hope, on what day are you doing that? Noon on Wednesday?
Wednesday the 23rd, yes.
Need not be present to win, Bo. A lot of people have been calling. I can't get up there on Wednesday.
You well, don't need to.
You don't need to.
No.
Mark, what are we talking about?
The Mark Cox Morning Show is taking time to recognize our local first responders for their selfless dedication. We're once again partnering with Responder Rescue for the ATFF raffle. Go to 971talk.com/Cox. Check out the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and food prizes you can win with a raffle ticket. Responder Rescue provides assistance to area first responders year-round, so you're supporting a great cause. Learn more at ResponderRescue.org.
I got my tickets in person at the range. Can you buy them online?
You
still
can, which is the easiest way to do it. Actually, it's the ATF raffle, the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and food raffle for Responder Rescue. So you're helping out first responders who are in need. Responder Rescue does great work. But you go to their website, ResponderRescue.org. That's easy. Or you can go to the range in person or on their website, therangestl.com, or even our website, 971talk.com/Cox, and you can buy your tickets right online, $10 a piece. If you buy five, you get one free. So if you buy 10,
that's
you get two free. And
yep, that's what I did.
Yeah. And then everything else, we'll draw them on the 23rd around noon on my Facebook page, and we will reach out to the winner. You don't need to be there to win, but there's four great prizes, a gun from the range, a 9mm pistol with a brace on it. That's cool. $1,600 value. $600 box of cigars. You've got the feast from Grillmaster Tony, which is just outstanding. 25 people, a brisket. You pick the date. He's going to cater the whole thing. Or you could win a basket of bourbon. And I'm telling you, Bo, as a bourbon fan, some of my favorites are in here. The E.H. Taylor, the Blantons. There's some Old Elk in there. Eagle Rare. I mean, these are bourbons that everybody's trying to get, and you have a chance to win. It's probably $1,000 worth of bourbon, considering how expensive this stuff is in the secondary market. So,
well, and I'm excited about the drawing because I had to waste my reaction of winning the Powerball for $2.1 billion. So I'm going to use that same reaction when I win in your drawing. But I want to point out to everybody that if you're in this drawing, The first ticket drawn gets to take their pick of the four prizes. Yes. Second one gets the remaining, pick. I just love the fact that you're doing that. I'm going to use that in future events that I'm doing. So,
well, good. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Good luck to everyone. Listen, speaking of Powerball, last year we sold about 2,500 tickets. We made $25,000, right?
Fantastic.
And those are much better odds than Powerball. If you've got five tickets or 10 tickets out of that number, you've got much better odds, right?
Yeah, but I like buying the Powerball tickets to support the cabal. So anyway, I do want to point out to Lieutenant Wurgis, Officer Tapp, I think he might be a detective, Chief Wiegand, and the guy that was qualifying these officers. They have to do it like three or four times a year in the shooting range. I went in after their qualifying was over. They, of course, all passed. But I'm going to tell you need to find out if you own a firearm. You need to find out if you are right arm dominant and left eye dominant, because that is what I've discovered in the last couple of months. So I am today years old when I found out how bad of a shot I've been all my life until this little morsel of information is. So I'm left eye dominant and right hand dominant. And they gave me some tricks and on how to be more accurate. And in seconds, I was a better shot than I ever have been in my life. So it's very important. Do you know if you are?
I'm right arm, left arm. I'm right and right. But my son is not. And when he was learning to trap shoot, they would cover the glass on his left lens with tape, so he'd be forced to use his right eye, and it made a huge difference. I mean, of course, he was an excellent trap shooter, but that's one of the small corrections they made for his eyes.
Yeah, and one of the suggestions they gave to me was just to squint my left eye, not to overpower my right eye, but just to give it still a perception of both, eyes vision. Anyway, life-changing for me, seriously. And you can go on YouTube and find out how to, determine if you are left eye dominant, right-handed, or vice versa, or if you're right, like Mark Cox, Big Fish. He's always right.
Thank you.
Literally.
Always to the right, whenever possible.
Leans that way.
I constantly lean to the right when I walk, Bo. Didn't you know that? Come on.
You should see a doctor. So I hear that we did get some communication about the Sonoran toad, desert toad licking incident. Carl, you want to chime in on this?
So I asked the National Park Service to have someone come on with us. And I also asked somebody from our local St. Louis Zoo to come on with us.
They declined.
Both declined to they sent a statement. Carl, thanks for your inquiry. Sorry we weren't able to connect for your program. They sent this 5 minutes after we stopped taping last week.
I see.
Of course they did. Here's some information. People should not lick the Sonoran desert toad. Amphibians, as well as with all wildlife in national parks, should be appreciated from a distance and not disturbed, captured, collected, harassed, touched, or licked. Humans and dogs can become violently ill from contact with the Sonoran desert toad from the toxins secreted.
Yeah.
That's any toad, really. I had an old dog, Fletch. He went to 15 years old, Shepherd Collie. He bit into, or not had bit into it. He picked up a toad with his mouth, and I have never seen the flushing of liquid out of his mouth ever in my life. I put a T-bone steak in front of his face. He drooled so much after biting or picking up a toad with his mouth. It was not even a Sonoran desert toad.
The Park Service is very helpful here because they also point out that you should not lick a bison or a bear.
Or try to hug them.
Clearly they're looking out for your best interest.
And they said that they were happy that there was all this humor around it because it's getting the message out. So thanks to Dave Barrick, the public affairs specialist with the National Park Service, for getting back to me eventually.
They didn't actually say don't lick. So up here they say you should not lick the desert toad. As with all wildlife, they should be appreciated from a distance. And then at the bottom it says you should refrain from getting too close, whether it's to a bison, a bear, or a desert toad.
Deadly toads.
I don't know who would do something dumb that like
that.
That
is awesome.
Anyway,
it's awesome that he even put that in there. I just love that.
Well, this sounds like a prepared statement, Bo.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Government dollars at work.
Coming up, we got a great show for you today. We are going to talk to a hunter extraordinaire who might be able to give me a few tips so I won't be such a bad hunter. I still didn't get a deer last weekend, so I'm bummed about that. But we'll talk to Jason Fudd coming up, right?
Jason Fudd, yeah, a descendant from Elmer. like three or four generations.
Many
years.
Very rascally.
Nice, nice. And next week, of course, we'll have Thanksgiving, and we've also got guns and hoses, and we're going to get you all the lowdown. There's plenty of, there's some tickets left.
Not money.
You need to get out there and get them. We'll tell you how and what to expect at that great event coming up the night before Thanksgiving. More of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, straight ahead.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The 30-point buck.
30-point buck!
30-point 30-point buck. 30-point buck.
30-point buck. 30-point buck.
30-point buck.
Did you see the 30-pointer?
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 As we jumped into the truck, then I'm going to get that
30-point buck.
I'm going to get that 30-point
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews, along with Mark Cox, who saw the 30-pointer and hit it with his truck. No,
that'd have been more likely, Bo. I've struck out so far.
I'll tell you what's amazing about game cams. They are everywhere, and you do see some pretty massive racks, and it's pretty cool. I've shared a couple with you, and it's pretty cool.
But where do they go? Where do
you see them in your car?
Do they hide? When I go into the woods with a rifle, they seem to sense that, and they don't get up and move around. It's weird.
I don't know.
But I must send off bad vibes.
I will tell the audience that Mark was out deer hunting last weekend, and he did send a photo that made him look really cold.
and really cool.
I don't know if it... He looked really cool. We know he's big fish, but he was really cool. Nothing? Did you see nothing out there?
I saw five deer. Four does and a little button buck. I mean, he maybe had like two tines chasing a couple of the does. I wasn't going to kill him. And the does were too small to harvest. So I just didn't see anything worth shooting, quite frankly.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow,
sad.
That's pretty. No, that's respect, though. That's respect for the animals. I think that's good. I do want to introduce you. And he's been on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Don't know, Mark, if I had him on as a guest when you were not here. I don't remember, but let me introduce you to Jason. I've known Jason about 20 years now. Jason, you know what? I'm going to call him Jason Fudd, as in Elmer's great-great-great-grandson. Jason is always hunting. He is always hunting, and we were texting last night, and I said, dude, we got to have you on the show. And I will introduce Jason Fudd as a passionate, dedicated conservationist, and he loves hunting. He's always hunting. Jason, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Buddy.
I was waiting for him to say he was talking to us from a tree stand somewhere, but he wouldn't want to make that much noise.
I'm doing that tomorrow.
Okay. Good.
Jason, just to let people know, you are a legit hunter from the ground up. How long ago? And let me just ask this question. How much was ground beef the last time you bought it in the store?
Last time I bought lean ground beef, which is comparable to venison, because venison has extremely low content of fat, it was 99 cents a pound.
Wow. That's
so impressive. That's how many years?
The 80s?
Yeah. I have no clue what it goes for now. When I'm at the grocery store, I walk right by the meat section.
So what's that, like 15 years since you bought meat in the store?
Yep. 14, 15 years is the last time I bought meat from a store. I eat everything that I hunt, squirrel, rabbit, turkey, duck, goose, deer, you name it. It's pure organic, never recalled food.
Never recalled. I love that. You know, let's talk about this deer hunting season that you've had so far. And he's very concerned about people around him, Mark. I got to tell you, he goes out during gun season, but he uses a bow. Isn't that right?
That is correct. For where I hunt, it is I'm too close to homes to legally carry a rifle. So I abide by all laws, as every hunter should. And I buy a rifle tag, put my orange on just like I should, and I'm out there with my bow.
Wow. Well, I tell you, man, I'm impressed. I sat in the woods with a rifle for about 8 hours last weekend. And as you heard me describe there, maybe I saw 5 deer total. The does were all really small, and so was the buck that was chasing them. And didn't choose to harvest. Maybe it's where we hunt. The people on the land next door got a 8 and 9 point buck respectively. So clearly there are a few out there. I don't know if I just send off bad vibes or what, Jason. But I've not had a lot of success.
Well, you're in their playground, so they go where they want to go. They go where there's food, and definitely right now during the rut, it's game on. There's no patterning them as much as we can pattern them prior to rut when they're in their food cycle.
See, that's interesting that you say that, because we have cameras on the property. We can see them. We know they've been there at some point, and then you go back to those same stands where you've seen them on the tree camera, the cameras that we put out, and nothing.
Yeah, the bucks are going everywhere. I mean, they leave their normal routine route that they do to go search and mate, and that's going to push the does all over the place as well.
So Jason, what have you brought in so far now? Because you don't do, like, I got friends that travel to northern Missouri or southern Missouri. Some go to Iowa to hunt. You really don't travel far from the St. Louis metro, do you?
No, I stay pretty close to the St. Louis metro area. So I've already harvested a buck during archery season. I was out opening weekend of a rifle, and I passed on a small buck, couple small does. Could have harvested a really nice doe, but I had some other 10 and 12 point bucks that were really close, and they never came in. I've already harvested some ducks and some Canada geese as well.
Well, let me solicit a little advice from you here, Jason. So you said you had some bucks nearby, but you couldn't get them to come in. Do you rattle to try to attract them? What's your secret there?
So what I like to do is, this is what I do. Everyone has their own opinion and whatnot, and this is what I've seen work for me, is I don't like to rattle when I can see them within maybe 100, 200 yards, because then they'll pinpoint exactly where I'm at. They'll go off the noise, and deer do look up. So I'll rattle if I see one way out in the distance. But if I can see it closely, I'll just do a light grunt, like a tending grunt as well, like a buck is tending a doe.
Yeah.
And it all depends on if they're in the mood to come in the fight, or if they smell good stuff that they want to go after. And the ones that I seen last weekend, I did both and didn't work because they had other things on their mind. They had some does that were taking their time.
So I got to know, Jason, are you doing that grunt yourself? And if so, can you give us one of those, please?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't do it with my mouth. I've got a grunt tube.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wondered.
Yeah, no, I'm not that good.
That sounds pretty authentic right there, buddy.
I don't know. I'm trying.
Yeah. Now, can you explain, you use the word tending. When a buck is tending to a doe, can you explain what that part is?
That's basically a buck right on the doe's heels and kind of beginning the mating dance, you want to call it. So he's kind of tending the doe. He's already kind of picked her out, and he's tending to her to mate with her.
Okay. Well, you should write a children's book on that. You did that well. Jason, do you use the technology? We've had Tim Chelswick on from Drury Outdoors. He talks a lot about DeerCast. I think Mark's got it on his phone when he's out deer hunting. Do you use any kind of technology other than the grunt makers and all that stuff?
So I've got a couple apps that I use that kind of give me more information. OnX app is a really nice one. Gives me property owners lets me know where the property lines are. So I'm abiding by all state laws. And you could put on deer stand locations on that. It's really nice. There's a tracking tool on it if you're tracking the deer that you've just shot. I use a couple other apps for lunar phase, going off of moon phase, and when they predict the most activity for the deer. Now, that's obviously that's not 100%, but I don't use as much as the jury guys do. Obviously, they're professionals. I just do this because I like to eat and I like to hunt. So I found something I like to do.
Well, and part of it's instinct for you too, right? It's not for me. So if you notice on that app that we're talking about here for DeerCast, there's an asterisk right at the top. And if you read the fine print, it says, does not apply to Mark Cox when he's hunting. Because I'll look at that thing and it'll be bright green and I'm feeling really good about myself and I'll go out and I won't see a deer all day. So I don't even know exactly what I do wrong. I've tried to use the scent-free detergent on my clothing to make sure I'm not, you know, but then I go in my backyard and there's a buck standing in the common ground who didn't seem to mind that I'm there. So it's just weird how they get accustomed to the ones that really live in the wild are so much more sensitive. Maybe that's what maybe I'm scaring them off. I don't know.
Well, and you got to keep in mind that our grandpas and great grandpas, there wasn't this fancy hunting clothes that cost $1,000 out there. They went out there in jeans and a plaid shirt, sat down next to a tree, and they were successful. So it's basically Fred Bear, which is the godfather of archery, in my humble opinion, basically says, sit down, shut up, play the wind, don't move, and you'll be successful.
That makes me want to play some Ted Nugent when I hear you talk about Fred Bear.
I'm all for Ted Nugent.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. See, so what you're telling me is that I have failed my ancestors.
Oh, I wouldn't call it that. I have bad hunting seasons sometimes where I only harvest maybe one or two deer instead of two or three.
Yeah.
So it just happens, and that's why they call it hunting and not killing.
That's a good point.
Ooh. Yeah, well, Mark, you haven't failed the sporting goods stores because you buy all the tricks that they offer
and
that expensive clothing. Yeah, that's you.
I don't have the expensive clothing. I really don't, but I did buy some of that scent-free detergent out of fear that a dryer sheet or something like that. I mean, those things are pretty strong in the scent, and you don't want that to get in the wind, and because they're pretty sensitive to that stuff.
Yep, I take good care of my hunting clothes. I wash them separately with scent-free laundry detergent, and then I put them in a scent-free tub, and then I don't take them out until I'm actually ready to go, just because you want to keep that human scent down. Their noses are way better than ours.
Maybe it's the bourbon and the cigars. You think that could be it?
In the candlelight, you're trying to tend to the does. That's, quit doing that. Jason, I've got mad respect for your hunting skills because you do it around the metro area where there's a lot of engagement between vehicles and deer. And I think harvesting them safely closer to people is where we really do need good hunters. So hats off to you for that. Now, I do want to ask about roadkill. Now, I don't know if you've ever hit a deer with your vehicle like Mark has, but have you ever harvested roadkill?
I have. And there's a couple ways to go about it. Obviously, you want to make sure it's fresh, for one, so you're not getting bad meat. For number two, the state of Missouri does own that animal, so you do have to report it and get legal documents saying that you now own this animal so you don't get a ticket or a fine. And it all depends on, once again, how fresh it is, where it was hit, is the meat good? Because I don't like that meat to go to waste. I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's the Lord's creature that he's provided for me so I can eat, and you got to respect that animal.
How do you tell, though? How do you tell if it's good or bad when you walk up on it?
Well, if it smells, it's no good. If it's bloated, it's no good. And if it's in your daily routine of driving, you know, if you didn't see it the day before and you knew it was 32 degrees last night, you know that meat should be pretty good. It wasn't exposed to above 50 degree temperatures. And then you take a look at it and smell it. And then if you feel that you want to put your time and effort into it, go ahead and take it, call the conservation department, and they'll gladly give you a legal document.
Yeah. What's next for you, Jason? Is it turkey season? Is that next, or do you duck hunt? What are you doing?
So turkey season. So right now, you know, it's rifle season. Archery season actually closes during rifle. So once rifle season ends, archery season will be back open until January 15. Duck season here in the St. Louis area is open. Canada goose season is open. There is for turkey. You can legally take a turkey during archery season, and I've already last year I took two turkeys with my bow last year. So, I haven't shot a turkey or a deer with a gun, and man, it's probably been 12 years.
Wow. And you know what, I was looking at the Missouri Conservation Department's website, and I thought, well, that's kind of a bad prank to pull on turkey hunters, because it's the day before Thanksgiving is when it begins officially. we need a little bit more time, because I don't want to pay $7.49 a pound at the grocery store.
I've got two turkeys in my deep freeze for Thanksgiving dinner.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, Jason Fudd, we're going to call you. Jason, thank you very much. He is one of the most passionate, dedicated conservationists that I know and have known for a long time. Thanks for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and shoot straight, cowboy.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Maybe some of his luck will rub off on me, Bo. I haven't given up yet.
I believe he didn't shoot a couple of those deer because he thought, you know, Mark really needs a chance.
You listen to a little Ted Nugent here, some Fred Bear.
How perfect. All right. So all right. Next Wednesday is when turkey season begins, and next Wednesday night is a special night.
It is. It's Guns and Hoses, for those of you familiar with it. If you haven't been down there, I'm telling you what, you are missing out. Had a chance this week to talk to the fire chief from Eureka and the police chief from Eureka and Maryland Heights and the former St. Louis County police chief. They're all in on this, right? Police think the police are going to win. Firefighters think the firefighters are going to win. These boxing matches are great. We're going to get to more on that coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
The spirit of the woods is like an old good friend.
Taking time to recognize our local first responders for their selfless dedication. We're once again partnering with Responder Rescue for the ATFF raffle. Go to 971talk.com/Cox. Check out the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and food prizes you can win with a raffle ticket. Responder Rescue provides assistance to area first responders year-round, so you're supporting a great cause. Learn more at responderrescue.org.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer. We are bringing you the show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, just before Thanksgiving. Wow, it's a great buildup for the holiday. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, featuring the silencer kiosk inside their store. If you've been thinking about a silencer slash suppressor for a firearm, which a friend of mine just got two of them. He got a 22 and a 9mm, and it is amazing how quiet that 22 was. And, it, you know, like Hollywood wants you to believe, it doesn't make a gun silent, but it certainly helps with your ear protection. And Razorback Armory wants to get you the suppressor you want. They've got them in stock right now, in De Pere, on Manchester Road. Find their address and more information at RazorbackArmory.com. Now, many people have gone to Guns and Hoses. Some do it every single year. I did it, went many years with my father, who was a Golden Glove boxer back in the Air Force days. And we've had a blast. This Wednesday is Guns and Hoses again. And this week on the Mark Cox Morning Show, Mark had a chance to talk to some of the leaders of this organization and this huge event. So let's take it away to Mark and the Chiefs of the St. Louis area for Guns and Hoses.
Taking time to recognize our local first responders for their selfless dedication. We're once again partnering with Responder Rescue for the ATFF raffle. Go to 971talk.com/Cox. Check out the alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and food prizes you can win with a raffle ticket. Responder Rescue provides assistance to area first responders year-round, so you're supporting a great cause. Learn more at responderrescue.org.
The Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
All right, welcome in. Little Guns and Roses there as we switch our attention to Guns and Hoses, which is taking place a little less than a week, next Wednesday night, in fact, on Thanksgiving Eve, as it always is, downtown, and we're looking so forward to that at the Enterprise Center. Tickets are on sale, and we have got some special guests in the studio this morning. Chief Greg Brown from the Eureka Fire Protection District is here. We've got, of course, Steve Olschwanger from the Maryland Heights Fire Protection District. We have got Mike Wiegand, the Eureka Police Chief, in here as well. And at some point, John Belmar, former St. Louis County Police Chief, who is he here? There he is.
I made it.
You're retired, and we can't get you out of bed as early these days, right?
Can't clear traffic as easy.
I couldn't see you for the light here. I apologize. Welcome in, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You brought out the masses this morning to talk about this, huh?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, this is the unofficial start of the holiday season in St. Louis, and it's the most fun you're going to have on the night before Thanksgiving. Guaranteed.
I said that earlier. You know, for years ago, when Jerry Clinton first got this thing started, I remember attending a few then when it was just kind of getting rolling and interviewing him about it and all that, and then kind of drifted away from it over a few years. And a few years ago, we started going back again, and it's becomes a tradition. It's fantastic for people that haven't been down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is like Greg said, the unofficial start to the holidays. Sellout crowds, great cause. That's what it's all about. The camaraderie, just a lot of fun. Steve Holly does an amazing job putting on an amazing show every year, and this year won't be any different.
No, it's true. And for just the opening ceremony, I mean, is with the bagpipes, and I mean, it's the tributes to officers who have fallen, or firefighters, or paramedics, or first responders. I mean, it's just Class A production right from the start. And just to brag on our friend Tom Ackerman down the hall, I think they won an Emmy this year for their production of that last year on Channel 2, right?
Correct.
Outstanding. So Chief Wiegand, you haven't said anything yet.
Hi.
Yeah. No, get closer to the mic there, Chief. We can't hear you.
I'm here with these guys because I'll tell you what, I've learned a lot from them over the years, and I'm proud to help out any way we can to support our first responders throughout our community.
So now, last year, you guys, I know, was it, who did you, do you have a, did you have a boxer? Was it your daughter or someone
daughter,
who was boxing?
18.
Yeah.
2018. She fought a young prosecutor from the St. Louis City Prosecutor's Office.
Okay.
And his daughter's a firefighter.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Somebody in the family got on the right side. That's all I'm saying.
Here we go. You know, and how Backstopper started is just because of this right here. Police versus fire. Here we go.
And Mark, my son's a police officer.
Yay.
So
see, how about that?
Yes.
It works.
Definitely a family affair.
It's a friendly rivalry, isn't it? For sure.
Absolutely.
Chief Belmar, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us, and thanks for your support of Guns and Hoses and Backstoppers. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, anything we can do, we always try to help out any way we can with our first responders. I do that the whole month of November, usually. So this is just icing on the cake to get you guys in here to talk about this. This thing is, is it possible to overstate how important this is to the men and women who serve?
No, it's really not. There is no silver lining when we lose a firefighter or police officer in line of duty, and that's, of course, why Backstoppers exist. And Guns and Hoses is really our biggest fundraiser, as you know. And more than that, it's a St. Louis tradition. And you get to come out, as Greg talked about it, you start the holiday season with it. But we do it for the right reasons. And while it's a fun event to be at, you really touched on it. It tugs at your heartstrings. You know, when you see the roll call of the names we've lost in the last year, it's a big deal. So we enjoy doing it. We enjoy being part of it. We enjoy helping out. And Greg's right. Steve Holly puts on a great show.
Yeah, the turnout's pretty impressive. I bet Uber does a good business that night too, based on what I see in the
I hope they do.
There is more beer sold at the Enterprise Center that night than any other night of the year.
Is that right?
Doesn't matter whether it's a hockey game, golf, or a concert, whatever. There's more beer sold that night.
I would believe that based on what I've witnessed down there. You know, the man who, if you have any musical requests, the man playing the music is on the other side of the desk here, Carl Middleman.
Well, see, the thing is, the fighters choose their own music when
they
come
out. Their walk-up music?
Yes,
okay.
They do.
Nice.
And it's also different because what you're going to see on television, there are bouts before and after that. So if you want the full experience, you have to go to Enterprise Center.
Absolutely. And we're down to about 1,500 tickets left.
Wow.
So if you want tickets, you better get on it. You can go to STLGunsAndHoses.com and get tickets. Or you can go to one of your sponsors, the hair saloon.
Yeah.
They're selling $20 tickets. You can get two $20 tickets for $25.
Great deal.
So it's an awesome deal. It gets you there, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
No.
So it's a great night.
And other than when the matches are going on, a lot of people aren't sitting down anyway. They're up milling around, saying hi to friends, and buying T-shirts and all that great stuff.
Absolutely. It's like old home week. We were talking about it earlier. You see all your friends that you haven't seen in years from both police, fire, EMS, and it's just a great night to support a great cause.
Yeah, thanks for the t-shirts you brought in for us this morning as well.
That should fit you, too. It looks
like it's perfect size for you. This is mine. This is a medium. This is my fit on my leg, but that's
good. Yeah, well, and, you know, there's a lot of good swag with the the t-shirt sales and other sales of different stuff. So.
Yeah, these are cool. Thanks for bringing these down this morning. We certainly appreciate that. That's going to be great. And thanks for the food, because our friends at Chicken Ellie's down in Eureka had a fire, right, that shut them down for how long? The better part of a year?
They were shut down for about 7 months. It was one of those things for them to, it's like everything else, trying to get people to do work and get materials and everything else, and it really drug out. But they're back, they're going strong. They told me to invite you guys back out to do another show if you want.
We'd love to do that.
Yeah, anytime.
And you brought some food in, which I'm anxious to get to, but I can't talk and eat at the same time. So thank you for, if you haven't been down there, just outstanding stuff. I'm just telling you that. You walk in and Chief Brown, he doesn't even have to order. They just know what to bring. They start bringing food out. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, if you get the same thing every time, they've got great stuff. Bob and Sue and Jen down there. You know, they do a great job for taking care of the community.
What is the Mike Wiegand special down there?
You know, there is a variety pack down there when I go through, so they never know what's going to come out of my mouth, but just kind of like you guys. But it's a great family restaurant. It's good home cooking.
Oh, it's outstanding. So
I just have to ask the room here, are we split on what we think is going to happen in the boxing matches? I mean, we got two police officers, two
police
firefighters in here.
Of course.
No, we're not split. We know that the red corner is going to win.
Right.
But the big winner is the families of our fallen first responders. That's a big thing. You know, last year we made a donation of $1 million to the Backstoppers. But that's just a portion of what the Backstoppers need. The Backstoppers give out about $2.6 million every year, taking care of our fallen heroes.
This just happens to be the biggest fundraiser of the year for them, right?
It is. It has been for a number of years now, but there are so many other events that go on for the Backstoppers. There's barbecues, there's auctions, there's dances.
People shave their heads on occasion. I mean,
I do remember a guy shaving his head, and
I raised just a little bit of money, dropping the bucket.
Oh no, it was greatly appreciated. You know, if you want to shave your head again, we'll be here to support you.
Let's wait till spring at least, right? I don't know. We'll probably wait till spring on that. Well, gentlemen, thank you guys for getting up early and coming down here and bringing the food and the swag and all that. Fantastic what you guys are doing for them.
Appreciate your support.
Thank you very much.
Chief Brown, Chief Olschwanger, Chief Wiegand, and former Chief Belmar, thank you for coming in. I hear you're a chief of... retired for good now? Is this correct? Is this a rumor?
I'm retired for good. I'm working on that title. But at the moment, I am retired. But you know what? It's a blessing to be able to work for Guns and Hoses on the board and Backstoppers on the board. We do it for the right reasons, and those families deserve it.
You don't want to run for county council? I mean, that seems to be a trend.
For county council.
I thought I'd ask since I had him in here, right?
It's worth a try.
Well, we appreciate it. Next Wednesday night, again, you can go online to get these tickets. About 1,500 left. You can go to hairsaloon.com or just walk into the hair saloon. I'm actually going to have them on tomorrow talking about this, where you can get the two tickets for $25, general admission, just to get in the door. And there were some great matches last year. I mean, honestly.
There are great matches every year. Really? And this year is not going to be any different.
Can't wait.
We are so excited about the card that's been put together and the show that's going to happen. And it is really like a Las Vegas championship fights or UFC event. You know, we've got Jesse Finney that's involved with Steve Holly and putting it all together. And David Stokes is the chairperson for Guns N' Hoses.
Yeah.
And it will be a very impressive show.
Outstanding. Gentlemen, thank you all for coming down this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
your support. Thanks for what you do every day. We appreciate that. All right. Quick break. We'll have all this information up on the website, 971talk.com. If you need more details or links to where you can get tickets for Guns N' Hoses next Wednesday night at the Enterprise Center, be there. I'll be there. I'll see you walking around the hallways, I'm sure. Should be good stuff. We'll be back in just a minute. And so good to see all those guys and the hard work they put in, Bo. And they wanted to point out to me as they were leaving the studio that you can, even if you can't make it down there, you can still go online and donate at backstoppers.org or stlgunsandhoses.com. stlgunsandhoses.com to make it easy for people.
Any time of the year, I know as we get towards the end of the year, people are looking for corporate donations they can make or family donations. That's a nice gift to give each other. Definitely support Guns N' Hoses because they support our first responders. Good stuff, man. That was a great conversation. I'm a fan of all the guys that joined you in the studio.
All good.
It should be an epic night.
All good guys and good friends, and they do great work. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you next weekend.
See you, boys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Get more at 971talk.com.